Oh my God. If this policy actually becomes law, men are about to be overpowered once again. For decades, men have been filtered in and out of divorce court, left with nothing, watching their assets disappear, watching their kids get pulled away, buried in child support orders that never adjust in their favor. That's been the reality. But now, the Heritage Foundation just dropped a blueprint that can completely flip the incentive structure of marriage. And if lawmakers pick this up, marriage in America is about to change, because inside of this proposal we're about to break down has the potential to change relationships for the foreseeable future. And it's funny, nobody in the relationship space is talking about this. So let me show you exactly what this proposal is doing. First, it restructures tax credits around married households, not single status. That means benefits increase when two parents stay married, employed, and raising kids together. Second, these credits are tied to work. No employment, no payout. So if you thought this was free money for doing nothing, that answers your question. Third, households with children receive larger incentives, and the incentives scale with stability, not separation. Fourth, benefits phase out when marriage dissolves, which means divorce is no longer financially neutral. It has a cost. Fifth, the policy limits tech exposure for kids and pushes parental accountability inside the home, not outside the family. And number six, all of this is structured to reward long-term cooperation, not short-term exits. So what you're looking at right now is a system that makes staying married more profitable than walking away. That's the change. Now, let's talk about where this is coming from, because this didn't just fall out of the sky. This message was published and circulated through the Wall Street Post, one of the largest platforms in the country, which means this is credible. It's not fake. It's not an underground. This is a reliable source. That platform then gave space to a policy blueprint coming from the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation is a longstanding policy organization that has direct influence on lawmakers, legislation, and executive agendas. And behind that organization, it's Kevin Roberts. He's currently running Heritage and overseeing the direction of these policy pushes. So this is not a blog post. This is not a think piece. This is a coordinated policy message moving from a major media platform through a powerful policy institution backed by leadership that actually has access to lawmakers, which tells you one thing very clearly. This idea is meant to move. But I'm afraid we've got a huge problem. Because the moment this policy became public and gained traction, there are parties already lined up to get in front of it, to slow it down, to dismantle it, and to fight it tooth and nail before it ever become law. And before we even expose who those parties are, you have to understand why this is such a threat. This proposal doesn't just add benefits. It removes incentives that women have been living off for decades. As of right now, the system rewards her exit. It rewards separation. It rewards instability. Women walking away don't cost them much. And in many cases, in most cases, it pays. What this policy does is flip that reality. It makes staying married more profitable. It ties money to cooperation. It ties benefits to employment. And it cuts off the ability to extract long-term resources without maintaining the structure. That's why this is dangerous to the current system, because it stops rewarding women for leaving. And anytime you threaten incentives like that, you create enemies. Now, let's talk about who those enemies are. First, you're going to hear pushback from feminist and progressive policy groups, the same circles that have spent decades arguing against marriage-centered incentives. That includes organizations aligned with pro-choice advocacy, gender equity activism, and LGBTQ policy coalitions, groups that consistently argue that marriage should not be promoted, prioritized, or financially rewarded by the government. Their framing is predictable. They'll call this government pressure. They'll say it traps women. They'll say it undermines autonomy in non-traditional families. Second, you're going to hear from civil liberty organizations like American Civil Liberties Union. Their argument will be about choice. They'll say the government has no business incentivizing marriage. They'll frame it as social engineering. They'll warn that tying benefits to family structure sets a dangerous precedent. Third, you're going to see a lot of pushback from libertarian learning institutions like Cato Institute, simply because they oppose government influence altogether. Their pushback will focus on spending, tax credits, and what they'll call an expansion of state power. Fourth, expect pushback from single parent and custodial parent advocacy groups, many of which overlap in organizations like National LGBTQ Task Force and similar coalitions. They're going to argue that this sidelines single parents. They'll say support shouldn't change based on marital stability. They'll push the idea that involvement shouldn't reduce financial manipulation. And this right here, this is the part of the policy that makes people lose their damn minds. Because the maximum incentives, I'm talking about the strongest incentives, they go to the households where the child belongs to both biological parents, living under the same roof. No stepfathers, no stepmothers, not blended households. Biological parents, one household. In the moment people find out about that, people are going to start crashing the out. Now, why does that make sense? Like, why does it make sense to give more incentives? Why does it make sense to maximize incentives for nuclear families or biological parents? Because every serious body of data shows the same thing. What does it show? Kids raised by their biological mother and biological father in the same household with consistency, discipline, and shared responsibility have better outcomes across the board. Lower crime, better education, better emotional regulation, higher income potential. So if the government is going to attach money to anything, it makes sense to attach it to the structure that produced the most stable kids and the least amount of social damage. Now, here's the kind of pushback you can expect. They'll say it excludes. They'll say it marginalizes. They'll say it's outdated. They'll even say you are weaponizing policy against stepfathers, stepmothers, and non-biological parents. But what they're saying really is this. You're not allowed to celebrate couples who live by nuclear family principles. Because the moment you do that, you expose how far people have drifted from how relationships and marriage were originally defined within divine order. We live in a culture where you're not allowed to say some structures work better. You're not allowed to attach money to discipline, continuity, to cooperation, because the current system thrives off the opposite. Multiple households, multiple payouts, no accountability. This policy threatens that. It forces one household, it forces biological parents to stay connected to their biological kids, and it forces accountability. Because when incentives favor two biological parents staying together, walking away is no longer free. You don't get rewarded for blowing up the damn family. The system stops rewarding degeneracy. And that's why this part of the policy triggers the most resistance. Now, let me be clear about one thing. This is not a law yet, and it's not a state law. This is a federal policy blueprint. What does that mean? It means if something like this passes, it doesn't just affect one state. It sets the framework for the entire country. Now, states would still handle their own family laws, but the money, the tax incentives, and the benefit structure would be driven at the federal level. So this ain't about Georgia, this ain't about Texas, this ain't about California. This is about national incentives. And once federal money gets attached to behavior, the United States will officially become money pill. Now, I want to show you a few clips to remind you how the current system actually works, because this is the system we already have. This is what people defend. This is what stays in place if nothing changes. And if this policy don't pass, this is exactly what you can expect to keep seeing.
He's acting like what's happening. For sure.
In this video, you're watching a woman praise and celebrate the divorce process, specifically her husband signing the papers after 16 years of marriage. And what's wild is the energy. A lot of these women are happy, they're celebrating, they're excited. And what typically happens next is...
I'm currently going through something with...
You're going through a divorce? Separation?
Yes, I'm separated.
Is there infidelity? What's happening with that? Abuse? Hopefully it's not abuse.
Oh, no. He's a great, like, I don't think I would ever be able to find nobody like him again.
So why are you going through a separation? You should be trying to get back with him.
I didn't want the divorce, but I understand why he did.
Okay, he wanted to divorce.
Yes, because of what I did, you know? I wasn't cooking, I wasn't cleaning, I wasn't, like, you know, he asked me to do specific things, and we talked about it before. He knew I didn't know these things, and all he was asking me to do was try and learn it, and I didn't do it. I just messaged him and asked him, would you be open to rekindle this? And he hasn't answered yet.
Did you ever cheat on him?
Yeah, I consider it cheating, even though we're separated, we're still married. It was my first love. I just went to the first person that, like, kind of made me feel loved.
How many times did you guys have any type of sexual interaction, you and that guy?
It's been happening for, like, half a year.
You don't take care of the house, you don't do none of that stuff, and then as soon as y'all separate, you go back to your ex? Does he know that you were messing with the ex?
Yes.
Hell no!
Now, what you just heard was the audacity of a woman divorcing her husband and then during separation, immediately turning into a bust down for her ex. That tells you something very important. The connection with her ex was never severed. That man was always there, always a card in her back pocket in case her current relationship collapsed. And a lot of women are doing this. This is exactly why so many men are cautious about women who had previous relationships. They don't move forward, they often go backwards. And what makes this even crazier is that she regrets leaving. She wants her husband back. She said he was a great man and she left him and found out the grass is not greener on the other side. This is one of the many lies feminists and misandrists keep selling women, that life is better after divorce. But what we're left dealing with are bitter, angry women who don't regain access and don't get to come back in. And when that happens, women begin to hate those men and their women for maintaining their unions.
Do you want to become a miserable old woman? I don't think any of us do. But women, you know, you've seen those women out there. The women that are nattering and nagging their husbands, that are bitchy, that aren't nice, that seem to be so unhappy, and we think, oh God, I hope I'm never one of those miserable old women. And you know how that happens? That happens from raising a family, working, and then all of a sudden we're in our 50s and 60s and we have nothing. We don't have a life. We don't have a life separate from our family or separate from our husband. And so we resent everybody. I did it. Here I am on my new bed, my princess bed. It's amazing. I feel like a different person already. I feel like I can do whatever I want, and I'm not responsible for anybody anymore but me.
I don't know, things aren't going that great. I just keep thinking about what it used to be like when things were good. And maybe all of this was my fault. Maybe I'm a selfish, narcissistic. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one. I'm kind of struggling. All that fake, all that happy, oh, I'm doing so great. I think I was in shock, and now it's coming, like, into reality, and I just don't know what my life's gonna be like. I can't seem to remember anything bad. I just remember all the good things.
The last few days have been super traumatizing for me. My own fault. It's always my fault. But anyway, I didn't know, well, I guess I did know, but that I would have this really strong reaction physically, trauma reaction, to finding out that my estranged husband has been having a new relationship. You can't imagine your husband and your children having a great time without you or with a new woman. And I think the hard part is that because I've been with him for so long, since I was 18, for him to be in a relationship where he is in one.
Now look at this. This woman is clearly frustrated. She's living in regret, fellas. Should you feel sympathy for her? Should you feel empathy? Should you feel bad? No. Because instead of being happy for the man she left, the man she divorced, she hates him. She's envious of his ability to level up. She's envious that he was able to find happiness with a new woman, along with his children, after she walked away. So no, don't feel bad. You should laugh. Ha ha ha. So, I caught myself doing a little experiment. Now, I use TikTok prompts as mini studies, just to see how people actually respond when you ask a simple question. And here's what I learned. People don't answer questions directly. They avoid them. They complicate them. They stack nuance on top of nuance. But something else stood out. This generation, men and women, but mostly women, openly subscribe to women leaving good husbands, leaving a good man, leaving a man who didn't cheat, leaving a man who provided, leaving a man who showed up. And that surprised me, because the whole point of my prompt was to test something very specific. Women today will leave you, even if you're a great husband or a good man. They don't need a reason. They don't need justification. They don't need abuse. They don't need betrayal. A man can be good. He can be great. She doesn't have to be miserable. She don't have to be unhappy. She can just leave. And according to statistics and cases that are made public, women actually are leaving men who are great, they're good, etc. So in this video, you're going to see an example where every time I make the prompt simple, people rush in to make it complex. They try to make it complicated. They start throwing hypotheticals, exceptions, in efforts to try to avoid answering the question as it's stated. So I'm going to play this video for you. I want you to watch it, and I want to see your thoughts in the comments. You'll also see a guy in a video trying to force everyone into one moral framework. And he crashes out. He rage quit. And it's not because his principles are wrong. It's actually a solid principle. But because he hasn't caught up with the times, a lot of people no longer subscribe to biblical principles. That doesn't mean he's wrong to promote them. It just means that if you're going to have these conversations, you need to understand how far people have drifted. And that's the reality we're dealing with here.
I have a question for the panel. So, okay. Actually, it's kind of like a multi-part question. So the prompt is women who leave good husbands should be banned from commitment, right? So that means the husband is a healthy individual. He's been treating his wife well. He's a good person to his wife, right? If she is leaving this good husband, it sounds like maybe she has her own issues. Maybe she isn't ready to receive the love that he has. Maybe she has issues with mental health, you know, whatever the case may be. It sounds like from this prompt, there is an issue with the woman. Would you all agree on that?
Okay.
I disagree.
Yes.
I agree that it could be a plethora of options, but the prompt is not set up to point out that she got any issues. It's just a
question for the panel. So, again, would you all agree or disagree?
I would somewhat agree.
We agree. So there is something wrong with the woman. So
well, there's some co-sign that women should be banned from commitment just because they leave a good husband.
Okay. So there's the agreeance. There's something wrong with the woman. Okay. So do you think that this woman is being a good wife?
The way that I set the prompt up. If I wanted it to be something wrong with a woman, I would have put in parentheses or somewhere around that she was a bad woman, that she needed some therapy, that she was bitter, she had some issues, she was cheating, she was lying, she was narcissistic. I would have put all that there, but I left it out there because I didn't want to attach any nuances so that y'all could try to shape the response the way you wanted to. It's just a woman. She don't have to have no reason. I would argue that in most states, she don't even need a reason. She don't even have to have no mental health issues. She could just say that, hey, look, I want to go over here or I want to get out. Do y'all at least agree with that, that women can actually do that today in 2026?
Yes, but the way you framed it where it says good husbands. Now, if you said husband, should be banned from, so, but you said good
anybody disagree that in 2026, a good husband can be left by a woman, divorced by a woman?
Yes, because women have free will. So anybody can get left, yes.
Okay, so now why is it a problem when I put it on a prompt? Why do we got to add all these other things to it?
There's no problem. It's just to add to the conversation. There's no problem with how you put the statement, the prompt.
It's just backstory, man. It goes along with
It's just, okay, let's think about it from this perspective. That's how you add different aspects to the conversation. If you don't want different aspects to your conversation, then that's cool. But it's just to add perspective, add nuance to the conversation. If this is the scenario, then this. Okay, well, if the scenario was this, then this. See, that's
That's a different way
of
phrasing.
Well, how about this? Should women be allowed to leave a good man?
Yes.
Does anybody disagree?
Yeah, if we're talking about marriage, no.
If we're talking marriage, then no. But
see, now just a relationship. See, you see what we just did?
Now they're adding stuff.
I took away marriage.
Right.
Y'all could not disagree the prompt alone for God help.
Oh, shoot. I didn't
see. So we're not talking about marriage?
They didn't read.
So even if I put marriage in there, then y'all add another nuance. But if I take marriage, they're going to add marriage nuance. It's just
yeah, because you ain't supposed to be with no man if you're not married.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how that
so
works.
So now you're enforcing another principle on.
No, I don't subscribe to that.
Does anybody disagree or agree with this?
Okay, period, King.
Yeah, we're not living according to how we're supposed to live with marriage or with relationships. So when you do things out of order, you get out of order outcomes, and that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're wrestling with as a people, and that's why we're on the bottom.
The problem
we don't do what we're supposed to do the way we're supposed to do it, and you get horrible outcomes.
Not everyone subscribes to the Bible.
We're assuming that everybody believes the same way. So people who
I'm actually not. That's why I said earlier. No,
that's exactly what you're doing because you can't say that we're living out of order.
No, I'm not.
Nobody believes in the order that you're talking about.
No, I'm not.
Everybody's not a Christian.
So what we're not going to do is talk about
it. He's being controlling.
So what happens is when you say that people are living out of order, then they have to be on the same actual set of rules. If everybody doesn't believe the same, then everybody, you can't say that everybody's out of order unless they all believe the exact same thing.
Y'all booted him or he left?
No, he booted himself because his when you run an Iron Man logic,
the hypocrisy.
Emotional people are not able to construct their arguments, and they take it personal. If everybody up here doesn't believe the same way, then he can't tell everybody up here that they're out of order because based on their belief system. Like one young lady said that she doesn't subscribe to the idea that man and woman shouldn't be together unless they're married. Exactly. If everybody doesn't have the same beliefs, nobody can tell someone else they're out of order.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, yeah, we get that. But again, you're logical. There's not like, you know, there has to be any emotion in your argument.
But I'm like,
at least stop being up here. I mean, but when you start, when you run men like those Bible thumper Christian dudes into Iron Man logic, they quit and they'll just say God told them to.
Now, make sure you like this video, subscribe to my channel, and let me know your overall thoughts in the comments. And if you want to learn a new trend women are adopting when it comes to destroying vulnerable, wealthy men, check out this video next. And I'll see you on the next one.